Hello everyone and welcome back to our mini-series here at Shop Talk, and in this episode I'm talking to Alexa Fisher, North American e-commerce manager at De'Longhi. This also happens to be her first ever podcast, which is an absolute honour for the marketing freaks. So with that in mind, let's get started.
And action.
I was literally about to start and you did that, so it's perfect timing. Alexa, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
How has your Shop Talk been so far?
It's been great.
It's massive, isn't it?
It's huge. It is a maze. There's so many companies here. But I will say they did a great job of all the pre-conference activities, of making sure that you connected with people you wanted to and had the right meetings, and they scheduled everything for you. So that's nice.
It is good, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, it's very, very clever.
It is. Takes away a lot of the stress and the work of me having to do it.
I would highly recommend coming here.
I think as well.
Yeah. So we're going to be talking about marketing across multiple territories and markets.
Yeah.
Which is a really interesting topic and an important one for people to understand. Before we get into the detail, do you want to give us an overview of who you are, what you do?
Sure.
You know, your life story in about 3 minutes would be
perfect.
3 minutes.
Okay. I have a background in e-commerce. So I currently am the North American e-commerce manager for De'Longhi. If you haven't heard of De'Longhi, they are, I would hope so, coming from you, but they're an Italian-based company that makes small home appliances, specializing in high-end coffee and espresso machines.
Perfect. And they're really nice machines.
They are amazing machines. The Italians know their coffee.
How did you end up working for an Italian business from the U.S.?
Yes, so that's a great question. We have markets and teams all over the world. Currently, our North American business consists of the U.S. and Canada. So that's my primary focus. And we have an office in New Jersey. So it just was luck. I was on the job search and found the role and love coffee and love traveling and love that they the fact that they're a European-based company. And so it just worked out.
That's a cool brand to work for, I think.
It is.
And, you know, if you love coffee, it's perfect. So what markets do you currently... What markets are you currently responsible for? And beyond your responsibility, what markets are De'Longhi actively marketing in? Or how many?
Well, I'm not sure I can list them all. I focus on the U.S. and Canada.
Uh-huh.
So that's my day-to-day. But we do work closely with our counterparts in the U.K., Italy. I know we have teams in France, Germany, Australia. I think we have a small team in Japan, maybe in Asian markets. But primarily Europe. I know we have a small Mexico team trying to build up the brand there.
Uh-huh.
But we're all over.
That's amazing. And what is it you think that's so important about viewing international marketing as separate territories? Because yeah. I think it's such a big mistake to assume you can't just play the same game in every market, can you? You have to attack things separately. So
yeah.
What's your take on that, and why do you think that's so important?
Yeah, a one size definitely does not fit all here. And we were kind of talking about this earlier. I think it just comes down to every country is different. The consumer is different. The education level on the product or solution is different. The way people shop, the way they use products. So, for example, you're from Europe, right? Coffee,
yep.
Not just coffee, but espresso specifically is a big part of European culture. In America, not really. We don't have the same education level that you do. We're more of drip coffee drinkers. So, you know, cup of coffee in the morning, not really drinking espresso, latte, cappuccino. So it's a different marketing strategy when we're talking about how are we educating consumers about these machines and about coffee in general versus going into a European market where the education is already there. So that's one thing. And I think just culturally as well, the way we consume things culturally is different all around the world, and you have to take that into account.
And actually, particularly with coffee,
yeah,
it's quite a cultural thing.
Yeah.
So you know, the culture around coffee in a country like Italy.
Yes.
Entirely different to the US.
Entirely.
You know, Italy is known for great coffee.
Yes.
No offense.
I'm not offended.
But the US.
We're not known for
coffee.
That.
You know, so, but there's like, there's that, but also just the culture around coffee is so different in different places, isn't it? So I guess it's even more emphasized for a product like your marketing.
For sure. I mean, even between the US and Canada, the US, we have two different types of machines. You have your fully automatic machines where you just press a button, it does the milk and the espresso, whatever, for you. And then you have your manual machines where, you know, you put the tamper in there, you're tamping it yourself, you're making the espresso, you're frothing your own milk. And we see the Canadian consumer lean more towards the manual machines, whereas the US consumer is leaning towards those fully automatic machines.
Yep.
We don't want to make the coffee ourselves. We want the machine to do it for us. And I think that plays into, we're not drinking espresso, we're drinking...
It's that different culture around coffee, isn't it?
We're drinking lattes and cappuccinos. And
so how does that translate into marketing tactics?
Yeah.
So you go, right, even between the US and Canada, it's different.
Yeah.
How does that then impact what you do and prioritize from a marketing perspective?
Yeah. Well, one of the biggest differences is just in terms of like assets and what machines we put on our marketing materials.
Okay.
Since we know the Canadian consumer consumes coffee differently, we're not going to show them the same machines that we're showing your US consumer. That just doesn't make sense. You also have to take into account the competitive market. Canada has a lot of small independent retailers that holds a lot of weight, and we have to do things differently in terms of promotional strategy and distribution strategy, whereas in the US we don't have that same conflict. Different conflicts, but not the same. But that's important when we're talking about where do we buy media, how do we spend that money, what consumer are we targeting, what keywords are we targeting, what even like copy communication are we showing to you? So there's a lot that goes into it.
Do you find like you take a completely different approach to creative as well? So, you know, not just what products you're serving or showing in creative, but different formats or different styles. How much of experimentation have you done with that?
We have done a bit. We're a smaller team, so would love to do more, but I think we definitely have tested and found, like I said, those differences. And you can look too, like if you look at our website versus the UK's website, we don't even carry the same products. Your European markets will carry more products than we will. And that's part of the reason that affects a lot of things.
Why do you think people get it wrong? Because it's... we see it, you know, all the time where I think, I don't know what the right way of putting it is, but I think there's a tendency to underestimate the effort involved to put a go-to-market strategy and plan in place in a new territory.
Yeah, well, I think, right, that's a double-edged sword, because if you do it right, it looks seamless and easy and it fits. And that is part of the struggle. And it takes a lot of work. On the back end, you have to know your consumer. You have to do your research. You do have to do some tests and learns just to see what consumers are responding to. But in the end, if you do all of that and you know your competitive, you know your market, you know your product, you know your purpose, you know your competitors, you have that data and you should be able to turn it into a successful go-to-market strategy. And even if it's not successful, there's always a lesson. There's always something that you can take away from that and reiterate for the next one.
Yeah, you've learned, haven't you?
Yes, so much.
That bit on customer feedback and customer requirements, that's come up quite a bit actually within the episodes we've been recording here, which is, I think is really interesting. Yeah. How do you, let's say you're launching into a new market, hypothetically, and you want to know how consumer is going to react to your content, your creative, your products. What sort of things would you do first to start getting that feedback? Is it as simple as just going out with a survey, or are there like any really good practical bits of advice you could give for understanding what a customer base in a new market might need or want from what you're doing?
Absolutely. And I think it goes at looking at the most successful competitor or product or company in that space. What are they doing? Why is it working? There are so many tools now to see how people are engaging on their websites, what keywords they're searching for. And I think if you can take that and then see how you can fit that into your brand, but also doing your own, doing your own research. I love an on the ground, boots down approach.
Yep.
Going, spending time shopping in stores or shopping online in that market and just kind of seeing for myself, if I was a consumer here, what would I want? And then piecing that with the gaps, either in education or culture, and having the right people around you that understand that, that every market is different, every country is different, every education level, culture is different. And so you have to take that into account when you are looking to launch something in a new market.
Yeah. Again, that's a really common theme, is boots on the ground.
Yeah.
Which I find really interesting, given that 4 years ago now, we were all trapped, which, and it was, no, we can do it. Everything can be done remote. Everything can be done via Zoom, and all our meetings and research can be done via Zoom. And actually, I think pretty much everyone that we talked to as part of this series here have all mentioned being somewhere in person and picking up on the local nuances, or just seeing things firsthand is such a big thing.
Yeah.
And I 100% agree.
Yeah. I mean, you can have a great website and it can be easy to shop, but that only goes so far.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So to wrap up, what would your biggest piece of advice be for someone working for a global brand who's responsible for multiple markets that have perhaps not done that before? What's your advice?
That's a great question. I think it just goes back to knowing your consumer, really knowing your product, knowing your purpose in that market. What is my goal here? And what do I need to get the consumer to know or understand about my product to get them engaged in my brand?
Amazing.
Yeah.
Well, look, thank you so much.
Thank you.
I'm going to go and get a coffee now.
Yeah. Lovely.
A drip coffee.
Okay. I'll take the espresso.
All right. But look, honestly, thank you so much, and really hope you have a great rest of your shop talk.
Thank you so much for having me.
Cheers. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. Very much hope you found it helpful and useful. If you did, please come and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. Leave us a rating or a review if you really liked it, and hope to see you on the next episode.